Hello, this is Dennis Banks. I am Anishinaabe from the land of the Ojibwe people in northern Minnesota. My people have long been of the Mende society, a very strong spiritual belief. And I would like to talk to you about some of those beliefs. They are very strong beliefs, very strong. First, we must understand of our relationship that we have with Mother Earth. This is the planet that we call Mother Earth. And we believe that we are children of this Earth. We believe that we are all that is, that we are, comes from our Mother, the Earth. All living species, we are related to all the four-leggeds, all the winged things, every blade of grass, the smallest insect, we are related to. We are related to the air. We are related to the water. And there are certain ceremonies in connection to all of these. The moon is looked upon as our grandmother. And the sun is looked upon as our oldest brother. The first song I would like to sing to you is a Thanksgiving song. It thanks the Creator for all that we are, for all of what we've become because of the earth. And it's called Gichi Gichi Manadu Megwech. Gichi Manadu Megwech is thank you. Manadu, Gichi Manadu is the Great Spirit.
Away, 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 away Diarva, hello. Welcome. This is David Kukla with traditional healers from the four corners of the world. Join me as we unite with healers, ancient medicines, rituals, songs, and ceremonies so that we can preserve, protect, and further this healing wisdom. Let us remember the teachings handed down to us, how to live inside this sacred hoop of land, language, and culture. This past year, we've been having different healers come in and speaking of their healing wisdoms from their cultures. We've had healers from India, Chinese medicine, and tonight we're honored to have a special guest, a dear brother of mine, a longtime friendship, Dennis Banks.
Good to be here. Good to be here, David.
Yeah, nice seeing you again. Yep. You look great.
Yep. Just returned from a trip from Europe, and before that I was in Brazil. So a lot of stories to tell my grandchildren and also share. I want to share with what I've learned.
Right. You know? On our last show, we talked about diabetes, and you shared a lot of good information on eating good foods, juicing, seeing because of the epidemic of the blood sugar disease, the sugar disease on the reservations. And tonight, why don't we expand that conversation, Dennis, if you like, and let's talk about healing and the different forms that it has. I know you got a beautiful CD you made with Kataro here, and you've talked a lot about songs in that CD and different stories. You just came back from Europe. I'm sure you saw some healing traditions over there in Europe that you might want to share with us.
I would love to share these stories, David. One of the things about music is that the very first sound of music that we hear is from our mother when we're very infants, and they're singing us to sleep or just singing to us, and that was soothing. And so our mothers knew that music was an instrument of healing. And you know, every time when I was being sent to bed, my mother would be singing and songs like that. And of course, I was taken off to boarding schools when I was four, but I remember that. And when I was in Europe, I run across a very unique situation where a man has built a zoo for blind people and for handicapped children. And one instance that he used, which he told me, was that when this class of people came there, the young kids in their wheelchairs, all 8, 9, 10 years old, and one of the kids was very unruly, screaming and screaming, just yelling, and you know, and so John Bowder had an idea to quieten the kid. He put a turtle, little small turtle about like that, on the boy who's sitting in his wheelchair, put it in his lap. And the boy instantly stopped screaming. And he looked at the turtle. The turtle started crawling up on his chest while he was laying down. Mm-hmm. And he got that far, and the kid is watching the turtle. And so the turtle's nose, head came out of the really slow, and it touched that boy's nose. And that boy, they just looked at the turtle, and they were like communicating with each other. Mm. And finally, the boy hugged the turtle and went to sleep. And oh, when I heard that story, David, I thought, oh my God, the boy and the turtle knew what they were supposed to do with each other. Mm-hmm. They're healing each other. Mm-hmm. And in my way of understanding is that if you heal somebody, you yourself are being healed.
That's right.
And so, and then another place, we've heard of people that use dogs and horses in their healing techniques with people. And we saw in Italy, we saw a young lady who uses horses. Mm. And even I got a chance to get out there, and I was holding that horse, and I was bringing it, and she said, "Just tell what you want to do. What do you want?" The horse is asking you that. And so I'm just saying, I'm looking at the horse and saying, "I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not here to hurt you. I just want to be part of what you're doing." So I said, "Can you follow me?" So I walked around. The horse followed me, and of course I was pulling it. But that was not it. When I stopped and looked back, the horse stopped, mm-hmm. and was looking at me. So I started going again, and the horse moved around. And I felt at that moment that horse and I were communicating with each mm-hmm. other. Mm-hmm. But also in the zoo that this John built, I picked up a fox, and the first wild fox that I ever held in my hands. I also held a boa constrictor, a python in my hands like that. It was getting heavy, but he just looked at me and just kind of rested his head. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh, yeah." And then mm-hmm. I held a lizard. And lizard came crawling up here like this. Just kind of looked at me, and that was it. We just looked at each other. Mm-hmm. And so the healing, mm-hmm. we traditionally think of healers of people who are medicine. Mm-hmm. People who have graduated from these universities, medical schools, but the healers are many. There's many different ways to heal. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's medicinal roots out there that you have been using for years.
That's right.
There's the way that the bees get together and they heal. Stories of elephants healing other animals. There's tons of stories like that. Since I use music, to heal. So mm-hmm. I am really surprised of the many, many techniques that people use. Mm-hmm. I mean, people use plants to heal.
Right.
I mean, they have plants in their rooms, in their where they live. They use that. They use shiatsu. They use acupuncture.
Right.
And they use music. As I said, they use music, mm-hmm. but they go on walks. People go on walks, maybe a 3-mile walk, and they come back and they've been praying, they've been healing, meditating. Yeah. They do running. People have been doing running.
Right.
So people should get out there and explore the many different ways. Instead of running every time you have an emotional pain mm-hmm. or an ache, that you run to the hospital, you want to get some mm-hmm. Some antibiotics or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows? These antibiotics might be doing more harm to us than they relieve the pain temporarily. Right. But we have to begin to explore those ways. I mean, the whole forest is a clinic out there. The whole forest is a hospital.
Nature.
Yes.
Yeah. The Sanatam Kaur was on our show probably about 4 months ago, and she's a Sikh, and she does chanting. She goes around, tours the world. And she said a real interesting thing. She said, "The masses are coming back to us."
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm hearing you say too, Dennis, is that this indigenous practice of healing, which encompasses the body, the mind, the heart, the spirit, different than the modern medicine that most people go to when they're not feeling well on whatever level, that the masses are starting to come back to us who are practicing this traditional medicine, these different healing arts. Because it seems to me, and I don't know how you feel, but it's like our modern culture has gone astray. And people are looking for something that can help protect, preserve, and further this Mother Earth, this planet, for our children. And so in the healing, a lot of times what I heard you talk about with the animals was, again, a form of healing that's not, it's, I'd call it more spiritual. You're connecting with the spirit of that animal. And so that in the traditional, in our traditional languages, we say everything has a spirit. Everything has, you know, a stone, mm-hmm. you know, kids pick up stones as if there's something sure, in absolutely. That stone. And how modern culture or the scientific world laughs at us, eh? As if, what do you mean the spirit, that stone has a spirit? But I believe that people are finally coming back to, as you said, they're realizing that there's something that us as traditional peoples have something to offer.
That's right. I mean, it's this traditional ways taking care of us for centuries upon centuries. You know, about 3.5 years ago, I was in a car accident and broke my back. I was mm-hmm. in a hospital with a body cast the next morning, and I couldn't move my feet, of course. And the doctor came in there and he said, you know, there's a great possibility that you may never walk again, because my back was a clear break, all mm-hmm. whole spine. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I don't want to hear that. I just don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And then he kept on, and I said, no, I don't want to hear it, doctor. And he said, fine. So he left. The nurse came in immediately, and she said, you know, you were very rude to the doctor. And I said, no, I wasn't. I said, you know, I just asked him if I'd want to hear his information. And I said, matter of fact, I don't want to hear that from you either. And she left. Funny thing about that, there's a little thing that says, press it if you want.
Right. Emergency button, right?
And they wouldn't come in. So all night long, but I went to sleep. And but I'm going to speed my story up. A year and a half later, I began a walk from San Diego, California to Washington, D.C. 5.5 months to take me. Mm-hmm. 3,400 miles. Mm-hmm. And many people were there to greet me. And I went in and got a postcard, sent it to that doctor. This is Dennis Banks. Yeah. I've just completed a walk from San Diego to Washington, D.C. You were wrong. the doctor, you know, my mind was telling me, was saying, you're going to walk. Mm. And for 4 days, I just kept concentrating on my feet to move. Mm. And I don't know if I sneezed or did something. All of a sudden, I seen my big toe move,
you
know, and I was thinking, oh God, and I just kept at it, and just like that, twitching a little bit, oh man, I was doing it, and I got the next one going, but I couldn't get this one going, and then the next day, though, I was doing that, and then finally it started moving, like that, and I knew that the mind is a very strong part of our system.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, you have another time I was in a cafe, we're eating, and heard this car coming to a screeching halt, and it hit a girl, and it just ran over her, and somebody yelled, come on, let's get out there, everybody. So we went running out there, and there was like eight of us, right on one side, on three, somebody was hollering. We picked up that car, and then it was on its side, and they pulled that girl loose, and her leg was out against that muffler, and it was just searing it, but she was screaming. But we got her loose, pulled her over there. By then, the ambulance was there, and then we lifted that car down, but we couldn't hold it. Mm-hmm. It kept coming, and we just let it fall. But my point is that in a crisis, our minds will tell us what we can do and what we ought to do and what we should do and what we must do.
Mm-hmm.
And eight of us lifted that car up, and I don't know if that could ever be done ever.
Yeah.
And the policeman stuck around, and he says, I've never seen that ever done. But see, our mind was telling us that somebody needed help.
Yeah.
And we all joined forces and we lifted with. So my point, I guess, is that you don't have to go to the hospital for every little thing that's out there. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that people should begin to meditate more and to go on vision quests, fast for a while. You know, I stay pretty close to vegetables. And, I'm a diabetic, but I'm not taking any medication. When I was struck down with diabetes, I started reading about it, and I read that they're going to be chopping off my legs if I don't change my ways. And I did. I did change my ways. I went to change my diet and started walking more. I actually have been walking. I've been walking many. Walked across this country 7 times, David.
Yep. Fantastic.
So many ways to heal.
Yeah, this is David Kukla on the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World with our very special guest, dear friend Dennis Banks. And we've been talking about healing and the many different ways that we can heal. And we want to bring that to all of you out there listening tonight, that seek out some of these traditional healers that know how to heal with the roots, know how to heal with the songs, know how to heal with the power of the mind. And so that in the fasting and the vision quest, all these traditional ways for you to feel your life purpose. And so, Dennis, again, thank you for making time. I know your schedule's real busy, and always a pleasure just to rub shoulders again. We have a long history.
I'll be back. I'll be back in late August. I think I'm coming out to the Bay Area. So if I get a chance, I'll come on out.
Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe you and Kitaro could come, and we could, the three of us could do something.
But, we could go to his studio and do it.
Oh, there you go. That'd be great. So why don't we end the second half of the show here, the next 15 minutes? Let's talk a little bit about songs, the different songs that you use for different occasions, the importance of those songs. I know that I have a dear friend up in Oneida, Iroquois clan of the, and he, they just did the strawberry ceremony, and they have these songs for the strawberry, the wild strawberry. And for most of you out there, the wild strawberry isn't this big half, you know, looks like a half dollar, but the wild strawberry is a little, it's a little guy, but always is sweet. And in the stories, you know, in the stories passed down through the Oneida clan, is that the wild strawberry is the first berry that comes to fruit in the spring. And so that we say that the Creator has told us that as long as the wild strawberry is alive and bears fruit, there'll be life here on earth. And so the Oneida clan, again, they pay deep reverence to that wild strawberry. And every spring they have their strawberry ceremony in acknowledgement of the importance of protecting the earth to keep that wild strawberry alive. Again, having a relationship with nature. And I know other peoples have different songs and different ceremonies for different occasions. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the songs that...
Yes, absolutely,
you get
David.
With, Dennis,
I've been doing a lot of wild ricing in my history, harvesting wild rice. My mother did it, and my parents and grandparents did it, and so we use wild rice is one of our traditional medicinal foods. But there's also a ceremony that we use that we do before we go out harvesting. And that ceremony is called Feeding the Lake. It's Feeding the Lake ceremony.
Yeah.
And so we make the food, wild rice, and we put on other food that we have. mm-hmm. and we put it on a piece of wood out there, and we place that out and let it go out there. Uh-huh. And that's called feeding the lake ceremony. Mm-hmm. We also have when we harvest the trees for the maple syrup.
Yeah.
When I say harvest the trees, I don't mean cutting them down. Mm-hmm. I mean tapping the trees. Mm-hmm. We also have feeding the tree ceremony.
Huh.
So, mm-hmm. and. You know, we place again food right at the foot of the maple tree there.
Yeah,
and then we start tapping the trees.
All right.
At the end of the sapping season, then we close it up. Also, there is a closure to all these ceremonies.
Yeah.
There's one to when you make a drum. You mm-hmm. also mm-hmm. You have to feed that drum at. Months a year or whenever you know whenever mm-hmm. the spiritual people want that to happen mm-hmm. you got to feed your drum and you mm-hmm. always put tobacco on it but you at sometimes you got to feed your drums at mm-hmm. that ceremony mm-hmm. There's a way to people when even in death there is somebody has to keep the spirit mm-hmm. for a year and somebody's chosen, and they keep that spirit. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the year, then there's people have to have a feast, mm-hmm. and they release that spirit. So ceremonies are very, very important, critical to mm-hmm. to how we survive and mm-hmm. why we survive and who we are and why those ceremonies must take place. Naming ceremonies. There's naming ceremonies that have to, you know, when you're receiving a name. The feather, of course, is one of the highest honors that you can give somebody during mm-hmm. such as naming ceremonies. You put the name, give the name, and you tie the feather mm-hmm. on the side of the band. And if it's a woman getting, you give her a plume. Give her a plume. And, so ceremonies are very important to yeah. to our way of life.
It, what I'm hearing is a reverence for life, a deep reverence for life, knowing that my life is dependent upon that maple tree for its sap. Mm-hmm. And so there's a mutual respect for each other, if you will. And so that we give a lot of time to ceremonies. Mm-hmm. Which means we have less time to be doing the clock, the 8 to 5. Because mm-hmm. most of us as traditional people, the more we get involved with our ceremonies, there's less time to be consuming all this material stuff.
Yep.
And it seems to me that in today's world, it's all material and no ceremony. Where's the ceremony in modern culture? You know, maybe we'll see it sometimes go to church on Sunday. But how many people have paid reverence mm-hmm. to, as you said, you know, to that maple tree or to that wild rice, that which sustains our community, our village?
And yep. Even not when just, we go fishing.
Yeah.
I mean, when we go hunting, I mean, everybody, we put out the tobacco for yeah. a sacrifice kill.
Yeah.
Go fishing. We put out tobacco when we were, and I fish a lot in the late fall. That's when because the white fish are running, mm-hmm. and that's what I want. And I also catch a lot of walleyes, and I fillet them, freeze them up for the winter. Mm-hmm. So, but when the winter does come and the lakes are there, I can fish through the lakes too. I mean, I can do the whole using a net for underneath the, but. Mm-hmm. When I fish in the late fall, I get enough wind, I get enough food for to last our family, and I have 5-6 big kids that are still big eaters in my family. So, but you know, I end up with maybe 200-300 fish, white fish, 200, maybe 300 walleyes. So, mm-hmm. it's I prepare for the winter. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure we have a lot of wild rice around. So we have yeah. it's. That's what sustains us is the fish, and the meat and the wild rice, is the things that we've prayed over and that we've given thanks for. And we've offered our tobacco for the
gratitude.
Sure.
Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. We've been talking tonight with our special guest, Dennis Banks, Anishinaabe.
Anishinaabe.
And we've been talking about healing, and Dennis has been sharing with us a lot about the different ways that the healing happens with us and giving words of encouragement. And so just in closing, just a few words to everybody, a closing statement. Dennis, what would you like to share? And then when you're done, we're going to put on one of your songs that you recently did with Kitaro, and we'll share that that sacred chant that you did with him.
You know what I'd like to share, just a few seconds, is that also storytelling. I'm a storyteller, so I've recently I wrote down 14 stories, which I've made up. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I mean, I tell these to my kids, and I used to tell them my kids, now I'm telling them to my grandkids. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, you should write all the stories down. And I started writing them down, about February of a year ago, last year. But now I've got about 14, 15 stories. And what we're going to do with Kitaro is that we're going to put some, I'm going to tell the stories, and Kitaro is going to put music way in the background. Mm. And I think
beautiful.
That, and it's my way of telling yes, healing comes in many different ways. Soothing, music, and also storytelling.
Yeah.
And I know some really scary, you know, some scary stories that my grandkids don't like to hear. They always beg to hear those scary ones. And after I tell them, they'll say, you shouldn't have told us that. You shouldn't have told us that. You know? But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And then sometimes when I'm through telling the story, the kids are like,
yeah. The place for everybody in that village.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, this is David Kukla with the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World. And tonight we had as our special guest Dennis Banks and Anishinaabe telling us and speaking to us about healing and the necessity for us to look at all the different ways in which we can do it. It's available. Don't run to the drugstore. Maybe start with that prayer in the morning when the sun rises. And maybe that's a starting place for us. And so until we meet again, we'll have some music here with Dennis and Kitaro. And Dennis, we'll see you in August. Thanks for being on board.
Okay, good to be on here. Good to be on here. See, there's spiritual power. Spiritual power is greater than material power. It can move the miracles. It can move the essence of what we are all about, the universe. Once there is true peace in your mind, you will float with the skies, with the stars and the heavens. You will visit all of them, and that'll be your peace. You will understand peace when your spirit visits those stars every night, or listening to water trickling down. That's peace. That is true peace. Even to hear the rustling of the leaves, that's peace. And when you hear the song of the birds, that's peace. And no interruption in your dreams, no interruption in your life. That's peace, beautiful peace.